Ever wanted to try an Olympic and Paralympic sport? Try fencing. It's fast, safe, and easy to start. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/try-fencing. That's usafencing.org/try-fencing.
Ever wonder what's really behind the headlines? Or why certain theories just won't go away? Dive into the world of the No Name Podcast, your go-to podcast for unraveling the mysteries of conspiracies, politics, and everyday life. Each week, we blend our opinions, analysis, with some storytelling to uncover the hidden layers of our world. From the latest political intrigue to the most fascinating conspiracy theories, we bring you a balanced dose of skepticism and insight. Whether you're a seasoned critical thinker or just curious about the whispers that swirl around us, we offer a space where your questions are welcome and your mind can wander freely. Tune in, spark your curiosity, and let's embark on this journey of discovery together. The No Name Podcast, where every episode is a new chance to think critically and see the world through a different lens. Don't miss out. Subscribe today and join the conversation.
Hey, this is Jeremy. Welcome to the No Name Podcast.
And this is your boy, Trey.
And a moment of silence for a second. And that's where Dustin would have said, hey, y'all say a prayer for Dustin. He's out with a family situation. So.
Yeah,
it's really weird to have his mic muted at the moment. So
right, I don't get a chance to look at him. I don't look at him like, what did you say? I missed that this week.
But, we thank you for joining us anyway. And like I said, prayers out for Dustin and his daughter. So we're here with you in spirit. But happy Monday morning. Today, we are going to talk about pretty much anything, really. But we're going to start out with a documentary that I had handed over to Trey that he had not seen at the time.
Yep.
It is called The Police State, which is done by Dinesh D'Souza, who Trey so candidly pointed out is, what is that guy's name? The other guy, the Fahrenheit 9/11 guy, what is that?
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore, he is the Republican Michael Moore.
Absolutely.
So we had that, we had talked about
smaller
that.
Budget too, by the way.
Yeah, definitely a smaller budget. He's not as popular.
Not even close. He would love to be, though. He's thirsty for
it. I mean, who's not thirsty to make a living making a movie or something?
I mean, I definitely would like to make a movie. So,
hey, I'm here for it. If we can come up with a no-name podcast movie, documentary or something and get rich doing it,
let's that would be amazing.
Kick it off.
That would be amazing.
We're in the making. We're in the, what do you call that, in the works of it.
Yeah, so. We're the planning stage, the pre-production.
We just need these folks listening to share, like, and subscribe, and, right. you know, give us a 5-star review so we get popular.
Right, so we can get some sponsorship.
Yeah, sponsorship, you know.
That way we can quit our jobs and just talk all day. That would be amazing.
Well, since you're fresh off of the documentary, go ahead, give it to me. What was your take on it?
So let me give the people the story here. So Destin and Jeremy off. Sometimes we talk about a little bit, you know, on the mic, and then sometimes off the mic we talk about this police state, and they would give me their concerns, and they kept talking about it, and then eventually they gave me this DVD. Now this is like one of those indoctrination DVDs. That's what I'm gonna call it. This is how I know who I'm doing this podcast with, right? And I'm thinking I'm about to see some crazy stuff in this documentary, because the way y'all talked about it, I was like, man, this just got to be wild. Like, they just arresting women from the PTA meetings, just going crazy. And then within the first, like, 15 minutes of it, I was like, man, this is what happened to black people in the 1980s. Like, what are we complaining about? And then as it progressed, it was some things that I did agree with, but then it's also some things I'm like, bro, like, relax. You're fear-mongering. And I think there is a lot. The first thing I would say, there is a lot to be said about fear mongering in our culture. I think us as conspiracy theorists, we have a healthy relationship with fear, because that's where you kind of deprive our search for conspiracy theories from. It's this idea that the government is not telling us the truth, a certain fear that we don't know what's going to happen. So we dive deeper into trying to figure out, is there an alternative truth? There we go. And so this documentary, I didn't feel like he was necessarily searching for answers. I felt like he was trying to give me one. And that's what I don't like. Most documentaries, they take you on a like this. They take you on a journey, and or they're explaining a situation to you, and you like for instance the what's the crazy guy that was
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer documentary. Okay. I know the end. He's a murderer, right. Like a psycho killer, right? But then I was like, it kind of makes me, they take you through the story with him. You kind of feel a little bit of empathy for him. You kind of like, oh man, he was just weird. He got picked on. His dad was hard on him. He shot his dog. Like, you start to kind of feel for the guy a little bit.
Yeah. Understanding where he
came from. So yeah, you get a better insight to this individual. On this documentary, I felt like, hey, this is my agenda. Just like at least with Michael Moore's, you know what the agenda is, but it's so baiting. Cause he's like, I remember watching one of his when he was talking about the security of America or something. I forget the name of it, but he was opening doors in people's house in Canada. They didn't lock their doors in this one community. And this person was in like, hey, what are you doing? He said, nope, I'm just showing something. And he literally was doing it on the documentary. And somebody was in their house and said, hey. And he's like, oh, nope, I'm just doing a documentary. And I guess he talked to them afterwards.
Yeah.
But he was going down the street, literally opening people's doors because the community was so, they had like one murder in like 100 years, some crazy, like,
oh wow.
So like no robberies, no nothing, people just,
I wonder if their crime rate went up after that.
I wish he wouldn't have showed us that, because I'm pretty sure it was some people.
He literally just gave the keys to the kingdom,
right? They
hey, this neighborhood's rich and ready for business,
right? Right. Jeez. I saw that back in the day. I was like, yeah, he just snitched on them.
Yeah, exactly.
things I didn't like. How about this one? Let's start off with the positive things I did like, and then I'll softball them to you to see how you feel about these things. I did agree with the idea of the FBI overreach in certain situations where they was framing people to be terrorists. Have you heard of other stories other than what we saw in the police state, which is, you know, the one guy, you can tell he was trying to scandal the guy and get the money from him. But have you heard of any other stories like that where the FBI is overreaching, they setting people up?
Well, I mean, like I said before, I felt like Jan 6 was a little bit of setup. I mean, we talked about that before, so if you didn't...
Give it a little bit, like, just in case they listened a little bit.
They're going to have to go back and listen, Trey.
Oh, but Jeremy's demanding re-listen.
Well, so part of that kind of annoyed me that there were people who were just on the street that were getting picked up for and taken in and treated as if they entered the Capitol.
Yeah.
And I think that is wrong. Okay. I mean, just because you were there because we had the debate about, you know, if you're robbing a bank, the person driving the car is obviously part of the robbery.
Right.
Well, the person who's standing outside, who doesn't even know 90% of the people that just went into the Capitol, you know, he's not out there, you know, holding down the fort, checking to see if anybody's coming. The police were already there.
Right.
The Capitol police were already there, but those people got treated the same as if they had entered the Capitol. So
do you think that, so, because the documentary talks about this, do you think those people who went, in a documentary, they show the guy who got the terrorist charge or something like that, and he ended up killing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And like a part of me was like, I feel sad that he did that. But the other part of me was like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, for me, is do you think that was like the girl who got shot by the Capitol police?
Yeah.
The guy who kind of hanged himself later, I think that's how he killed himself. Do you think those situations, was it government overreach in those two situations they put in the documentary?
Yeah, I think it was, honestly.
Why?
Just because I think that there were, well, I don't remember, were any of those people ones that actually went
No, both of these, girl guys, she got shot.
Yeah,
she was trying to.
I'm talking about the one that like hung himself.
Yeah, he was in the Capitol. He wasn't, seemingly enough, he wasn't doing anything. He was just in the Capitol taking pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that you have to address it by the situation. I feel like the whole Jan 6 thing was probably the most well-investigated story of our time.
Uh-huh.
I don't think anything else has ever been investigated that hard, and I don't understand why, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Why
do you say it was investigated so hard?
Because they had a whole team. I mean, literally, they were doing trials on TV. They were doing. They had this whole team of people, tax-paid people, okay, that are investigating this thing. We've never investigated anything that hard.
Has that
out in public, at least?
When the last time that happened? Like that.
I have no idea.
The Revolutionary War, maybe?
I have no idea.
Okay.
So, I mean, I literally have no idea.
So this is what bothered me about. It was I like the January 6th thing to me is so weird, and I told you, I, and to Jerry's.
Well, I'm not point. Supporting what they did, just for the record. Okay. I'm not supporting what they did. I am not supporting.
You better say that, Jerry, because
I'm just saying I don't support what they did. I would have not been there just because it could have happened.
Were you there? You need to clarify.
I
was not.
I mean, I would already be in jail because I mean, they literally found every person in.
They might have left you off the Rolodex and need to come back.
I think they literally went through every cell tower ping of people in that area, and just got a roster going. Is what it sounded like they were doing.
I think they was close to it. They did say like if they some kind like they looked at the flights.
Yeah, the flights and the phones and everything.
Yeah, if you flew into that area that I guess that day or that week they tracked you. Even if you didn't go there, like even if you had nothing to do with the Capitol, you was flying in for business somewhere else in D.C. They did at least flag you.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I've never heard or seen an investigation like that. It was just wow. It just wows me. And again, not that I support it. I don't. You should have not done that. I mean, if you are not had an appointment or however it is you go into the Capitol anymore, I don't even know.
Right.
You're probably not allowed in there at all anymore. But you know, with being able to go in there, I just don't see why people were getting treated the same, you know, being out on the outside of it as people who actually went in and broke stuff and, you know, were just
fair
causing a riot.
Right. I think you have a great point there. And they did kind of specify that in the documentary, but I to your point, if I'm on the street and I'm just watching you like looking in, I can see why I don't necessarily, but I'm saying I am not even on the Capitol steps. Like I'm just like, whoa, look at these idiots. Like I'm out here getting footage just for like my YouTube channel or something crazy like that. And
right.
Then next thing you know, I'm being brought in because I'm like, oh, hey, I wasn't trying to commit. No, you know, I think it's unfortunate. Like to your point, I always tell people, you know, first of all, I think I shared it in the episode last time, but I didn't feel bad about the guy. I did feel bad about because it's like it's some people who are just not built for to go in front of like the jury or crimes. Like some people are not built for crimes.
Yeah.
But you also got to recognize when you're committing a crime.
I mean, if you're doing the crime, you got to do the time.
And he couldn't do it. And he couldn't do it. Yeah. And you know, I'm sad for that family because that's just a tragic story because the auntie in the story was trying to like tell him like to hold on. But she felt so angry with the government. I'm like, why are you angry with the government? Because you know what he could have been? Could have been at home.
Right. He could have been watching from the TV like we were. I mean, I was watching it on TV.
I was like, look at these crazy white folks. This is crazy.
I mean, we even had, you know, the kids were watching. They're like, what's going on? I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, to be honest with you.
Never
I'm
seen
like,
this before.
I know. I'm like,
we've seen a lot about life.
I mean, this was right after COVID, you know. It's like, I'm not surprised by anything anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, it was just bizarre. Because
if me and you were to go to any other government establishment with a group of people, let's say the people listening to the show, they got so excited. They're like, oh, if Jeremy and Trey say and Dustin say, go inside of the Georgia State Capitol building, we're going to call them. And they decided to put us down one by one. We deserve every bullet they give us.
Yeah.
And I think that people got to stop saying, like I don't think, like to your point, I would stop the government overreach at, if they are picking people up who just walking by, like, you know, that's why I came out of my office and smoking a cigarette. I'm like, whoa, these people out here doing what? They just got me on camera smoking a cigarette. Looking. Right. No, they shouldn't be getting the people who just didn't go in, who just kind of in the area. But the people who, and not everybody who was actually in there, I think they should have, and they're going to get pardons now, which I think is weird, but because I just don't think that's fair treatment from people who, whether you, like I wouldn't say Trump told him to go. I think he did get him riled up a little bit and they took it to another level. And I did see the guy. It was one guy in there who was, I'm not going to lie, that part was weird. He was telling him, we're going to go inside the building. Because, and I'm like, bro, he kept saying it. And then they even, I think a group of them once called him and said he was FBI plant. And, and like, I'm within minutes, eventually he sparked the group to go in there. And I'm like, if I'm standing there and I see him doing that, like, bro, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Why did they listen to him?
But I mean, do you think that, I'm trying to remember what was the sentencing they were getting? Wasn't it like 6 to 10 years?
Yeah, 6 to 10 years. But so, I don't think nobody ever got it. Like, most of them was getting like 1 year. They was supposed to get 16. They was getting like 1 year, 2 years. I think the longest one I've seen, if I remember, like 5.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's fair for a first-time offender?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to go race for you. I have to. What would a black person get for doing that?
It depends on your jurisdiction.
Death.
It depends on where you're at.
No, I'm talking the same situation. They're not doing that with us. If black people or Hispanic people ran up on the Capitol, boy, them think they might get the helicopter and lay us out.
Unless it was all planned.
What you mean?
It was planned to usher them in, which, I mean, there were some videos of that where the Capitol Police were ushering them in, you know, come on this way.
But I think it's some Capitol Police that support Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure of it.
I mean, I'm sure there is.
Yeah, and obviously, this they didn't show that in the documentary. So I don't know, man. Like I said last time we talked about this, it's certain situations that we just, you got to be, ask Joseph, you're in the Bible. There we go. Just because a woman wants you to come lay with it on me, you got to. You know what I mean? If you don't know what I'm talking about, go read Genesis. You'll catch up. Okay, yeah. I like that. And then another thing I saw is, and you guys made mention, because this is why I wanted to watch it, was the PTA, the school board meeting, and then the other guy, he was like a pro-lifer or something like that. Yeah, pro-life
yeah.
When I saw him, the first thing I think is no good. I immediately got a sense that he was up to something else. like I didn't get the vibe. I was like, why he? Like, what does he say? I thought he was talking about the books maybe, and he said, I'm a pro-lifer. I said, bro, you're into something else too. like I don't know. Like, they just not coming to mess with you just because you said, you know, pro-life. I want to be pro-life. And then the school board moms, well, I just feel like they just, you know, probably said some stuff. What we don't realize is if you do some weird banner online in some of these crazy chat rooms and you find yourself being radicalized to go inside these chat rooms and you say something crazy, the government can have the right to check on you. Then watch this. Remember just the shooting not too long ago. They did talk to the board prior to it because he said something online. Now, it wasn't like a thorough conversation because they were trying to fill it out. But to me, would that be considered government overreach? Maybe a little bit, but I'm glad at that moment they had
that
idea.
Not government overreach, because from what I recall, he made, and we talked about this before, but he had made threats.
Yes.
And they showed up to question them about it.
Right.
Well, if you make threats, the government is well within its reach to go question you about it.
So if okay, what would you, because that's, I'm just, and I'm, this is all for like, it's and giggles, is let's say this pro-life person and those school board moms, that's what we're going to nickname them. If they're in these chat rooms and let's say they're just saying, man, we didn't do something about this. So, the government can't do this.
I want to separate
the two. Okay.
Because I think your pro-life is going to be a different charge, not a legal charge, but it's a different personal charge. Okay.
So as far as like energy towards?
Yeah, energy charge. So when you look at like that guy specifically, and I don't remember what he was into online. Maybe he had posted a bunch of stuff, maybe he didn't.
He didn't say. They just start with him.
I mean, if he was threatening, then that's different. But I don't know that. What I do know, at least from what I've seen, is that the what did you call them? The school board moms or something?
Yeah.
So I don't recall them making any threats. I don't recall there being...
No, they didn't say that in the documentary.
I don't recall there being any threats at all. I don't remember about pro-life guy. Now, like I said, with that being a different, you know, energy, I could see there being some threats there.
Right.
But with trying to protect your children, I think the threat might be, I'm going to pull my kids out of school. I'm going to read this nasty book to you that is available in my library. There's been so many different things that people have done and gone to. And it's like I was telling you, the only reason I think that they got the treatment that they did is because those videos went viral.
You did say that. And I'm going to say this. I think they were saying some other stuff, man. I can't trust this documentary maker.
What are you threatening, though?
What if you get the moms together and say, we're going to disrupt the school system. We're going to do whatever we need. Like language like this. Not saying this, I would call like, to me, it wouldn't be aggressive language. We're going to do whatever it takes to get this change.
Well, that does not constitute what happened to them.
Hold on, rightfully so. But all it takes, I say, you say, like, let's say, let's say we on this podcast and you say, Trey, we need to do whatever we need to do.
I'm not going
to
say that, just for the record. No.
Jeremy says, we're going to do whatever we need to take to do whatever we need to take to protect our family. I say, yeah, whatever. And then Dustin, if he was here, he would say, yeah, I got me some guns. But that is, it's escalating.
I mean, that does escalate, but do you really see the school board moms doing that?
Hey, what did you just say? We we went on the mic off live. Nothing surprises me.
Yeah, it's true. Nothing surprises me.
And granted, it could have been that it just went viral. I'm not knocking it at all. It could have been, but I really think people be saying some weird stuff online and don't think it get caught up, especially on stuff like X and stuff like that. All it takes is one. Let's say they go viral, right? Or they're going viral, and then somebody comes back and says, "Yeah, I agree with y'all," and they get feisty. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
True.
It and what people don't really realize online, and we don't know this information was provided. It's all speculation. Me and you, let's say you just told me about a situation on Facebook. Me and you are arguing on Facebook, and let's say somebody jumps in and says, "Man, I'm gonna take care of Jeremy." Is that a threat?
I don't know. It depends on what kind of take care of me. You're gonna give me a bunch of money. Right. You ain't gonna have to work anymore.
We don't know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm gonna take care of him and his family for the rest of their lives.
Right. I can make it rain on you. Yeah. You know,
I'm gonna come wash his dishes.
But if the government is looking at this, and they say the same thing, and they say we're gonna take care of the government, I can see them misinterpreting that and say that's just going hard. Now watch this. How you feel about it is, you know, it's up to you. But I still think that I don't just see the government just because you don't want pornographic books in your school. Why does it bother them? Like, that's the part about I don't understand. Like, what incentive does the government have to stop that?
But if your whole thing that you're running on is to try to confuse the kids, okay? Because that's been one of my theories for a long time, is that part of what we're trying to do, or what we've been trying to do, is to confuse the kids so that we can make them not know who they are, feel secure in who they are.
I rock with it.
Then that's how you kind of get to their core. And that's how you get them to trust you instead of their parents or God. Or, you know, you're trying to get the kids to turn to you, not what they've known, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been my theory as to what's been going on with the whole trans movement in the schools and trying to make it so that kids can change their gender with behind the parents' back.
Right.
And if you don't support it, you go to jail. Like, all that. It's all trying to desensitize the kids from innocence.
Okay.
And because the sooner that you do that while their mind is still ripe, it's, you know, it desensitizes them. So my theory on this whole thing has kind of been, I just wonder if they were trying to use these people as an example. Because those videos went viral, I feel like they're like, okay, well, let's take these people down in the biggest way we can and just send a message. Now, you being open-minded to a conspiracy and some theories, I mean, could you see that being a possibility?
I mean, obviously, yes, but from what I seen on the documentary and how they did, I'm like, it doesn't scare me. In my world, it doesn't scare me from doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you think it's going to stop people from speaking out against, you know, I guess pornographic books, whatever they were speaking out against, actually. I don't know. If I told y'all before, I don't like the whole idea. I think kids should be left alone. I think overall kids should be Switzerland's. You know what I mean? We just don't lead them off of it. You know, let the adults do the bickering, you know, how you feel about trans and how you feel about whatever, abortion. Let the adults argue about that, right? I got a feeling they was into something else. And not saying they was terrorists and like that, but I think they was making some lewd or crazy comments and it just caught up with them.
I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying they didn't, because I don't know.
Right.
What I do know is that I think that was a little overkill to go bust into these ladies' houses.
Oh, man, I loved it.
And just drag their kid. Like, you know, the one lady who got her 16-year-old drugged down the stairs and all this other stuff. I mean, was that needed?
No.
Exactly.
I say no because, this is the funny part about it for me. The video is not funny, by the way, people. So if you ever get a chance to watch, if you're a liberal, don't watch it because it's going to drive you crazy. A lot of this stuff that I'm hearing people complain about, especially in this movie, has been the stuff that black folks have struggled with as long as I've been alive, I've heard the stories from my grandma, I heard the stories from my mom, I heard the stories from my aunties and my great grandparents and, you know, their siblings, right?
Make a documentary about it so I can tell you the same thing I'm saying now. It's not right. Like, what's going on with those folks? What's going on with black folks? You know, and I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I've heard lots of stories myself. That doesn't make it okay.
Right. So what do you, so okay, for instance, have it progressively gotten better for black folks?
I have no idea. I don't think so.
It wasn't, I mean, the fact that you don't know says it gives us the answer.
I mean, I think everything's got progressively gotten worse.
Okay, there we go. Right, we'll sit with that. And all I'm saying is, like, see, like, if you were to ask some of those people in the documentary, do they know about the experience of other cultures? I have no school, like, and that's because we're on the school that we're going to the Super Board Moms, right? The school board, what
school board moms.
Thank you, the school board moms. That's my nickname for them. Because we on them, I would say they don't know nothing. I have no idea. You know what I mean? Only because I could just, you know, from the video, and I am judging them. I'm making a sweeping generalization, so I could be completely wrong. But I just didn't. Their story didn't move me like it moved y'all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not that it moved me. It's just kind of eye-opening to the fact that, to me, it's just kind of like, why is that okay? And it's not, like I said, it's not just that it's not okay for them. It's not okay for anybody.
Right.
Like, for law enforcement of any kind to just be busting into people's houses, and especially for something that minor, like, you couldn't just wait outside for them?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, really. Your no-knock warrant busting the door down for that?
Right.
Like, just humor me. Just humor me. Take out the fact that we don't know if they were on the dark web talking a bunch of nonsense, okay?
Poison.
What if they weren't?
Okay.
I mean, because we don't know that to be fact. What we saw on the show, that was fact. That happened the way that they said it did. If there was anything outside of that, then I don't know.
Right.
We don't know. What was on the show, what they were showing was the fact that that was all they did. There right. was no outside rhetoric. There was no threats made on X. There was, you know, none of that
I
stuff.
I got you. I want you.
So is what happened okay?
No.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you, but let me go further. Is I don't like the no-knock warrants.
Oh, terrible.
Like you see, now watch this. Can the government go after people? I would say yes, go after people. If you think they did something or doing something, go after them, right? Now, but don't do it cowardly.
Yeah.
Don't come in with no-knock warrant. And then, because then I feel like you put the citizen in a very dangerous situation.
Well, I mean, everybody's in a real dangerous situation. I mean, with a no-knock warrant, it's, you know.
That's what happened. Remember I said that's what happened with Breonna Taylor.
Exactly.
They hit you and they shot guns back, because rightfully so. I thought about you. I thought about people who I know who are good gun safety Americans. Well, if that's your family.
Well, I mean, the thing is a lot of people say, well, you have to identify yourself. Well, I could be a robber and identify myself as the FBI. FBI! And then break your door down.
And then
you're going to say, oh, well, that's right. Only the FBI coming in. Let me just put my hands behind my back. And then you get your whole family at right. risk. You right. know, that's your problem with the no-knock warrant. Anybody right. can identify. I mean, we've learned that.
Right. Right.
I can identify as a cat.
Right.
You know, I'm breaking in. Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, oh, it's just a cat.
here's some milk, kitty. Yeah. Could you identify a cat burglar? Got
right,
you.
Exactly.
No, but so I did agree with that in the video as far as I don't like it. I don't mind them doing it in certain situations, but I also don't like them. Because I think... For me, that when they did show the, I don't know if it was like re-imaging or whatever, they did show the guy, the pro-lifer coming out, and I was like, bro, like that could have been bad if he would have had a gun in his hand.
Yeah.
And his kids was right there.
Yep.
So that's the part I really don't like about, if you're going to do it, come in with a smoke gas. Bang, flashbang. Because if you throw a flashbang, I know you're not a robber.
Right.
Like, mean, oh, shoot, this is
you
real.
You could probably buy them. I don't know. I mean.
I'm not asking.
I'm pretty sure.
Off the dark web.
Probably could. You probably could, but you should.
Do you think you can buy a flashbang on like at Walmart?
I'd Google it, but I don't want to. But I bet you. I mean, not at Walmart. No. Not at Walmart. I just
they
caught
got everything.
That. I'm like, not at Walmart. Like,
they got everything.
I don't even think you can buy a gun at Walmart anymore.
You can. I just wanted to look.
Oh, you can?
Okay. They still got the rifles and the shotguns out there.
They got rid of something. I can't remember what
it was.
I think
the AR-15.
Okay, that, you know, I bought an AR-15 from
recently?
Walmart. No.
Oh, I was like, yeah. You must buy the last one they got rid of. Thanks, guys.
They had a Black Friday special. I mean, that was probably 20 years ago or something.
Yeah, one of my friends did say he bought one, but yeah, I think overall that's the stuff I didn't like, is, you know, of course, the rhetoric of the what I don't like is we talked about this a little bit, is both parties. I didn't like the political blame.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's both parties that do it, especially when they start talking about immigrants. I didn't like that because, like, it started under the Barack Obama administration. Trump took it. It just got publicized when Trump took it. And then we really don't know. We know that Biden said, we just, all right, just go back to where y'all. It's like, we got to fix this, right? And I think the problem with a lot of the stuff I saw in the video, people just want to take the blame for our government as a whole to, like, just kick stuff down the road. We are the ultimate can kickers.
Yeah.
Remember, Social Security is supposed to get taken care of back in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
We still haven't taken care of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be temporary anyway. So,
you know what I mean?
I mean, the problem is that now it's so far from temporary because they're taking so much money out of our paychecks that, you know, how could we take that money and put it in our own? We're having to go above and beyond what we're already being, you know, quote unquote, taxed on for our own retirement that we may or may not even see. It's hard to go above and beyond to put into our own retirement. So you end up becoming dependent on it, on something that's not even supposed to be there, you know, because I would be able to take, you know, all that money that I'm putting into Social Security and probably make more money on a 401k or, you know, I can't even think of that now. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. It's the other retirement that's not a 401k.
Somebody will tell you.
Yeah, somebody will tell me, but, you know, it's, you can't take that money and put it where you want. It's just getting taken for you so that they can take your money and do whatever they want with it.
Right.
And maybe you get it, you know, when they tell you can retire at, you know, what is it, 68 now?
Right. I mean, 75.
So it doesn't even look great at that point. You're like, right. Well, thank you.
I think to your point, I don't know when we made this shift. There's this shift of, like, for instance, like, we're paying Social Security, right? In America, we won't make the shift to change the things and fix the things we need to fix. I don't think America's far from being as, and let me use the term, make America great again, but I don't think America has ever, me personally, has ever been genuinely great.
Yeah.
We've been aight. I mean, we might have been, like I always tell I tell a lot of young guys this. I said, there's girls right now. They don't look good. I'm being honest. They're not attractive. But one day, they're going to blossom. And when they blossom, oh boy, you're going to regret the day not talking to them when they was an ugly duckling. When they get to swan level, right?
Right.
I feel like America has been stuck in the ugly duckling stage. And I think because we won't deal with our history, because we won't take care of our citizens, because we won't put legislation in bug to actually stop police stating, stop. Like, and watch this. I would like to do a ban on propaganda media. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear any more fear. Tell me how you're going to. Watch this. Let's talk about legitimately how to make American citizens great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our, you know, like, I'm scared. It's kind of scared to say this.
We fear mongering over there?
I'm fear mongering my own mind. That's the crazy part. There are certain dynamics to certain situations, such as unions, that are being ran under the table. Stop that.
Yeah.
There are certain companies and corporations that are charging us out the wahoo. Why don't we stop that?
Right.
You know what I mean? We shouldn't, as a citizen, I shouldn't be asking if 9/11 was a real thing. When I say a real thing, it did happen, people. Chill out.
Happened the way they said it.
Right, right. Yeah. Like, did my government sacrifice millions of people? Like, I shouldn't feel that way.
Right.
I shouldn't feel like, you know, we shouldn't have these conversations about Sandy Hook. And, you know, the guy getting in trouble, but, you know, the thing he said, it didn't happen, but we, you know, it shouldn't be questioned.
Yeah.
If the, you know, these horrific events.
Which it definitely happened.
Right.
I mean, people died. It's just, the point is we always wonder, why did it happen the way that they said it happened?
Right.
And that's really where you kind of get that distrust, and you shouldn't have the distrust. So maybe we can agree. On this podcast, instead of using the word MAGA, you know, such a charged word, we're going to start our own MAB, you know, make America better.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. MAB.
Hey, we might have our campaign slogan.
Yeah, I heard it first on the No Name podcast. Well, we're MAB.
If you see somebody run off that, would you be mad?
I'm going to be very mad. Mad.
Not MAB.
Not mad.
Mad. M-A-D. Make it. I want my sign back.
That's what, yeah, give me my sign, my MAB. But
I think, and I think I like that because that's the state that we're supposed to be in.
Right.
Better.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to always do. I mean, that's what every politician should go into their job thinking is like, I'm going to take what's here and I'm going to grow on it. I'm going to make it better. And, you know, instead of trying to line my own pockets because we've created this environment where that's allowed and it shouldn't be allowed. No politician should be able to go in and make decisions that's going to line their own pockets. They should only be able to make a decision that is going to uplift the citizens that have put them in that place.
Absolutely.
And we have completely just screwed that up so much.
Kicking that can down the road.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we just continue to allow it to happen as the citizen. And it's like, no, it's got to come to a stop. I don't know how you get there. I mean, there's all these regulations and rules and everything that, they only want to throw the book at you when you're trying to better it. You know, when you're trying to just kick the can down the road and line your own pockets, everybody turns a blind eye. So every time you try to make
it off for 2 weeks,
every time you try to make it better. Oh, boy, it's like, oh, you can't do that because of this. Oh, you can't do that because of this. Oh, we can't. You know, I mean, it's just always something to run into when you're trying to make it better. So we just allow it as a society. So,
in the documentary, how do you feel about the FBI? Because I didn't like the fact that they make the FBI seem like all they do is sit around all day and just watching American citizens and targeting them. That's not the FBI, I know.
Well, tell me who the FBI is, you know, before I answer my question. Just wondering, like, from your point of view, who charges the FBI?
What do you mean, charges? Like,
who's in charge?
I mean, the DOJ. Is anything like that's like Homeland Security or military based? They kind of operate with the Attorney General or whoever the Department of Homeland Security is, or whoever that secretary is, right? But
which are put in place by who?
The president.
Okay, so that's part of why that documentary is saying what it's saying is because it's going off of who the president has put in place. So more than likely, I'm not always saying always, but more than likely, if you have a Democrat president in place, they're going to put Democrat leaders in those positions. Mm-hmm. If you have a Republican in place, they're going to put more Republican leaders in that place, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason I think whenever you have stuff pop off like this, whether it's under the Democrat rule, then it's the Democrats' fault. If you have stuff like this pop off during the Republican rule, it's the Republicans' fault. I mean, just because of that.
Is it okay? Because not for you and I, but just for this guy who's in the documentary. I'm changing my mic and moving it. Sorry, people. If, let's say, President-elect Donald Trump comes in and does the same thing as flipping, I know you probably still feel the same, like, that's not right. But do you think the guy who made this documentary is still making, will he do a part two, police state part two, Donald Trump point of view?
I mean, more than likely, I think him as a person probably would. I think that I've seen some things out of him where he's more just trying to protect. Like, it depends on what they're going after.
Okay.
I guess it depends on what they're going after. So if they're going after, quote unquote, people for just speaking out.
Yeah.
I think he would. And he might change his whole point of view from being a Trump supporter to being like, what the heck?
Right.
You know, I've been duped. That would be my guess. Because to me, I think most human people, I don't say all, but most, I just want to preface that. I think most human beings will be on the side of right.
Yeah.
And, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. It's just like I teach my kids. I'm like, you'll get in trouble for an accident any day. Like, you know, it's different when you're at home and, I accidentally broke something.
Right.
But if you're, you know, in a store and you accidentally break something, more than likely they might charge you for it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just, there's a whole different set of rules outside right. of your house.
Right.
You know, I try to teach my kids that because, you know, I'm like, yeah, you can have an accident, but if you have an accident out on the road and it's your fault, it was an accident, but you're paying for it.
Absolutely.
God forbid somebody gets hurt. You're really paying for it. And not just monetarily, but emotionally.
Right.
Like, you know,
or worse,
you may not even recover from it.
Yep.
You know, because it may mess you up so much as a human being, the fact that you were responsible for somebody else getting hurt. An accident's an accident. Right is right, wrong is wrong.
Absolutely.
And I would hope that D'Souza would do that. If there's wrongdoing happening under Donald Trump, I would hope that he would do the same thing, because, again, right is right and wrong is wrong.
I hate the appointment stuff, because I don't think, okay, let's say it's, I win the presidency and I appoint you. What if I said, hey, if I tapped you and said, hey, Jeremy, I need you, what department would you want to be over?
Doge. I want to be the Department of Government Efficiency. I want to go in and I want to find out.
You do know that's not going to exist in the next term.
I want to know where the money's going. Like, honestly, you know, when I look at so many different things with the government, we were talking about the Department of Education and, you know, some different things that I was seeing people talk about, like how much money actually goes to the schools versus their budget they're taking in. There is such a loss of money. Where is the money going? I would love to be the guy that just starts following the money. And I'm like, okay, why are we spending all this money on this, and this? And if I can't be that, I definitely want to be, I want to be some sort of efficiency, because I think under all of our presidencies so far, we are so inefficient.
Yeah.
And we are just pissing money away. I mean, and it's costing us, the taxpayer, with always higher taxes, higher this, higher that. And it's crazy to me. It's just crazy.
In this analogy, I tapped you to be a part of Doge, even though I probably would discontinue. All right. If it's hard for me to say. The reason I don't like the appointment thing is because, hey, don't you feel sad for the people who work at DOJ? When I say, like, I'm talking about the everyday people.
Yeah.
Because every time they get a new regime, they about to get a new boss who feels probably opposite of what they've been going on and doing, right? And that being said, is I just didn't like that, because I feel as if, and hopefully the guy, if this happens, come back and make a documentary and say, hey, I was wrong or whatever, I don't know. And says, if it's not just, like you, I think we talked about earlier, it's not just a party. Both parties can be like this. Both parties can be very possessive. Both parties can be, they don't want, you know, term limits. Both parties don't want, you know what I'm saying? So that's, I didn't necessarily like that, because to say that the FBI weaponizes itself intentionally to go after American citizens, it makes me cringe, even though I saw some of them stories and heard them. But what makes me more is like, well, if we get rid of the FBI, who's stopping, in, you know, home terrorism?
Yeah, a true story. I'm not saying you get rid of the FBI.
But, some people are saying that.
Well, obviously. I mean, everybody wants to get rid of something. I mean, you know, there's some people that want to get rid of the IRS. And then there's other people who say that, you know, you have to have the IRS. And then there's some people that want to get rid of the FBI. There's people that want to keep the FBI. I mean, everybody wants to get rid of something because they think it's, you know,
the
right thing to do.
I want to get rid of the whole Congress.
Well,
I mean, when I say get rid of them, like, set term limits. Let me make sure I said it, because, like, tomorrow the building get crazy or something like that.
If you put me in charge of Doge, that is part of government efficiency.
What you would do? Like, make sure
I would find out whatever the rule is that's causing them to be able to run, you know, for 70 years in the same office, and stop it.
Okay.
That is not efficient. Mm. That is not efficient. Things that worked 70 years ago do not work today. Things that worked 20 years ago do not work today.
We love old people, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. But that doesn't work. I mean, if I was living my life today as I was when I was a teenager, it doesn't work.
Right.
It just doesn't work. If I have not changed anything, if I haven't evolved at all, I mean, it doesn't work. If I try to live my life exactly like I did in the 80s or 90s, it doesn't work today.
Sound like a party. Well, that's what it sounds
like. It does. It sounds great. I wish I was there. I mean, honestly, who doesn't at this point? I mean, golly, it sounds great. But I was literally trying to work my Apple TV earlier, and my daughter's giving me tips. Oh, no, you have to do this and this. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
I'm like, wow. Right. I am already taking a step back. I'm losing it.
I think, and so I just don't want to do away with, okay. Leads into this, I guess, was where I'm going with this. To me, the Waco situation was a fumble of all sorts. All right? Now, granted, the people didn't make it any easier.
Nope.
And that's why I think at some point we got to look at ourselves and say, all right, like I think the ATF was definitely wrong in Waco. You just can't roll up on people with tanks and guns and think they just going to like
roll over. Yeah.
Especially in some of the towns.
When you know you're getting into.
Right. I mean, like.
They knew what they were getting into.
Come on, y'all. Y'all knew that this group was about it. You know what I mean? Like, I did feel sad. You know, if you know anything about Waco and how it ends, it's tragic. But I just think stuff like that. I didn't. There was one before that they named. I can't forget. Like, no one cared about that. Waco was more famous. But
yeah.
There are real groups out there in America that would love for the FBI to stop investigating them.
Yeah.
And these people do have plans to hurt American citizens. And the last thing I want to do is get them a free pass to do so, you know, and, you know, we end up like another 9/11.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, there comes a time where you got to, but, so we've talked about it before, the old Patriot Act. I think a lot of the stuff almost feels like the grounds that they do this on mm-hmm. are through the Patriot Act. So it's a war on its own people. And I feel like that's what we need to get away from. Because mm-hmm. I think that's part of where the documentary was kind of pointing to, is that we've taken more of the, you know, our domestic threats instead of, you know, our abroad threats. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of where that was coming from. So I don't know if we're focusing more on domestic or abroad. I mean, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on that?
Because based on how I thought it was, the CIA does the more abroad stuff in conjunction with other different secret organizations. but I'm gonna tell you this: what I do know, the FBI, if I remember correctly, I want to say they most of their cases is like, I'm gonna say 80% white collar type cases.
The FBI, okay,
it's not the cool stuff we see on TV. It's money, wire fraud, you know, banking, robbing banks, but right. like, you know, like the stuff you do where they can hit you with 80 charges in one, right?
Yeah.
So if you do away with that, then we're letting these internet criminals to, I think, have a little bit fun free time.
Well, I don't know that you do away with it, but why is the FBI getting involved in a school board meeting? You know what I'm saying?
They was moving that money illegally. I tell you, man. It doesn't make sense to your point. It doesn't make sense.
We have to assume that there was no
our two options
shenanigans
is,
going on.
It went viral and the FBI wanted to make an example out of them. Or we don't have this information. You got to come to my side, which is, you know, they was talking crazy on the internet.
I mean, if that's the case, then maybe they deserved what they got. But I don't see that information.
No.
I feel like that information would have come out if that information existed.
Yeah. Not on a documentary.
Not on a documentary, but in general. I feel like it would have become national news on some level. I mean, wouldn't you? Like, oh, these crazy people are, you know, they're busting into the school board. They were making all these threats and da, da, da.
You ask me, do I trust if media would? No. Of course not.
You don't think our media would have took up and run with that one?
No.
Really?
No. It was a, no, no.
No. I don't know, man. I think they would have run with it.
I mean, because what do you stop at? Like,
that's the point. Where do you stop? That's the concern. See that right there. Where do you stop? That's the concern. Where are they stopping? You know, it's
until all the conservatives in jail. And I don't even think you stop then, because then you got to go out of the straight folks.
Well, I think you end up going after 90-something% of the population at that point. You know,
where's Destin when you need him? New World Order, population right? control.
It's definitely dicey. I don't know. I hope that there's more to the story, is what I'm saying. Because if there's not, we got a real problem. And I think anybody can agree with that, even you.
Yeah.
If there's not more to that story,
if they just picking them because they viral. Oh, they went viral, and
they're just trying to make a point. If we're at that point now where we're just trying to, you know, make a statement, that's a real problem.
Right.
I mean, obviously that's going to change now because we have a regime change.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens.
Right.
But from now until January, you know, it's like, it's going to be the same as it's right. been, you know, when that happened. But, you know, that's the kind of the, That's where my concern lied by watching that. Maybe I did buy into the fear mongering a bit. I'm not going to lie.
You punched a ticket.
It made me concerned. Yeah. You know, how could you watch that and not see the concern a little bit, especially when you're looking at, you're not seeing the dark web posts. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if you're not seeing the dark, like, that piece did not exist, that is very concerning.
Right.
Because it just makes you wonder, what are they doing to stop? I mean, we've heard and seen plenty of stories where people talk about something and just wind up dead.
Right.
So maybe they didn't have the cojones to do that. They just wanted to arrest them instead of, poison their whatever. I don't know. I mean, we were talking about just that guy in Conyers that just mysteriously died in between. He mysteriously dies in between press conferences.
Yeah.
I don't think they expected him to come out and say what he said at the first press conference, and then he mysteriously dies before the second one.
They could have just raided him, but they had to kill him.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's just sometimes, this goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the show here, is it makes you wonder where the truth lies, and you just don't end up trusting nothing because there's so many weird things.
Oh, what do they call them?
Coincidences?
Yeah, there we go. Coincidence.
it's bizarre.
Right.
Very bizarre. So it's just interesting.
Yeah.
That's
all I really had from the documentary. It was definitely, initially it was hard to watch, but then I kind of got into it. I think I don't like the host, the guy. But I do.
He's kind of weird to listen to. I'm not going to lie.
Because I feel like, you ever seen a person, and this is, if it comes off disrespectful, it probably is. Like felt like a person who like really wanted to be your friend. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like every time he was interviewing somebody, like, oh man, I'm interviewing this guy, like
he's trying to be a good host. He's trying to make people think that he's one of them or
it was
something.
Like Grandpa Junior or something. He's like, yeah, my dad. He's like,
well, I mean, get ready for it because we are raising a group of socially awkward children at this point. And that's what people like that are. They're socially awkward. They don't know how to, get into a conversation without, oh, yeah, I believe I'm on board with you with everything you say. I don't know, it's just kind of weird. I mean, tell me you don't know anybody like that.
If I don't agree with them, they don't want to talk to me?
No. I'm talking about where everything you say, they find a way to. Oh yeah, Trey, you that's exactly right. And da da da. I mean, you can tell they don't agree with you. They're just saying what you want to hear.
Right. That's what I do with my mom.
She doesn't listen, does she?
No. And by the time she does, this episode will be long gone. it'd be on there, but she ain't.
Like, mom, just start fresh. Don't start beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
Season 99.
Oh man.
But yeah.
That's the documentary, like I said,
I encourage people to go check it out. It's pretty interesting.
It is interesting. I'm not saying that everything that was in there was true, but it's definitely worth a watch on some level. It makes you think at least.
I mean, it did get me to thinking. It did push me to a point where I was able to could this happen? What does this look like when it does happen? And I don't if America ever turned on itself, I don't think. When is it appropriate for a government to do, to overreach and put down a rebellion?
When is it appropriate for them to put down for a rebellion? Like if you're making threats or what do you mean?
Let's take the January 6th, right?
Okay.
What if it was another group? Like all these little militia groups that we have in America.
Mm-hmm.
If one of them, if the government felt like one of them was like, get here and chatter, and really felt like they was about to do something, will it be appropriate to come in and just kind of like wipe them out?
Well, I mean, if they're hearing the chatter and they can confirm the chatter, I don't know about wiping them out, but at least.
Went too dark too fast?
Maybe just take them for a talk. I don't.
There is no talking. We here to put
drag them
down
the stairs and take them to jail like they did everybody else. I don't know. But
you may survive in there.
Oh, man. I think that it's, again, appropriate when you follow the Constitution. I think when we don't follow the Constitution, that's kind of when we are in overreach mode.
Okay.
So if you're doing something that falls into a no-no zone within, the law, then yeah, I mean, you deserve what the appropriate punishment.
Right.
And like we talked about the no-knock warrant, you better have a really good reason for that. And you better make dang sure you have the right house. I mean, even what it's shockingly enough, I think that that's actually pretty pretty common.
I would be so pissed off.
I mean,
I come home and the police have literally tossed my house looking for something, and they got the wrong house.
Oh my gosh! I mean, or God forbid, you and your family are there. Think about the trauma, the whatever. I mean, you know, just assuming you didn't have a gun waiting to, you know, start protecting your family because you don't know what's happening.
Judo chops. That's all I got for him. That's all I got.
I mean,
to your point, yeah, I got like. It can go left really fast for anybody.
Yeah, it's just shocking how, you know, I saw a statistic on it. I can't remember what it is, so I'm not going to say it, but it's not that uncommon. When all that stuff was going on with Breonna Taylor, they had the statistic of how many times they've gotten the wrong house. They've busted down doors. Oh, I meant 4722, not 2247.
Right.
I got the wrong one again. You know, the
and they don't know those people,
up the numbers.
Do those people get reimbursed?
They should, yeah. I don't know that you ever get reimbursed from the trauma of it. I mean, holy smokes, that is a traumatic thing to happen. You know, especially when you feel like you're trying to live your best life, you know. What did I do?
Kick down a door, shooting.
Yeah, I mean, or just getting arrested, right? You know, getting put in the zip wagon, ties, the whole nine.
Paddy,
I mean,
wagon, taking downstairs to get booked, take your picture.
That's just, it's nuts. It's nuts. I don't know what happened to the old school, just staking out. What if they had done that in Waco? They just sat there and cut them off from...
They should have snuck somebody in Waco, to be honest. They should have had a spy in Waco.
Yeah, either that or just sat outside and, you know, as they came out, you know, heading to the grocery store, pick them up. And people wonder whatever happened to them. They come out looking for them and pick them up. Yeah, just
play the long game, huh?
Exactly. I mean, why are you going to roll up on these people that you know have more guns than you with a tank and then hope things are going to go well? Right. They're not going to go well. They knew going into it was going to be a bloodbath.
Right.
I mean, why would you think that was ever going to go well? Who made that decision? This is just insanity. But I mean, I don't know. Somebody higher up that supposedly gets paid to make these decisions is making decisions. And there's so many of them. You hire me for a department. Once you become president, I'm going to hit efficiency, just efficiency. I think it's a great department. It needs to exist.
Department of efficiency.
Just across the board efficiency, money, stupidity, the whole nine. I mean, just all of it. There's just give me some efficiencies instead of inefficiency. I mean, you look at it from the top. Tell me our government's efficient.
No.
I mean, on a scale of 1 to 100%, what percentage do you think we do the right thing? And that's under any administration.
Wait. When you say do the right thing, do you mean like have the inkling to do the right thing or like
actually
will
do
it? Actually do it? I don't know if I should say 40 or 60, but I'm going to say 60 to be positive.
Wow, I was going 20. You know, I always tell my kids this too. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. It don't matter what.
Yeah, that's my 60% good intentions.
Yeah, they may have 60% good intentions, but what we actually do is way smaller than that.
Right.
It's just way smaller. So they want to do this, they want to help, but then somebody's got to put all this other crap into a bill that just completely, you take a bill to help somebody, mm-hmm. and then you fill it up with like 80% bullcrap that helps nobody. It lines their own pockets.
Right.
And now
when you run for a re-election for whatever, oh, he didn't vote for this. You're like, no, when did I even vote at all for this?
On page 4,207.
There you go.
I mean, literally. You have to fill up a whole room with one bill. It's insanity.
This about you know, like like an encyclopedia thick.
Inefficient. Inefficient. I'm just.
Well, Jeremy is waiting for this job.
I've made my own job in my head.
Hey, what's this? Department of Health and Human Services come here. We see that your reduction rate needs to go down. Well, you'd be killing them.
Oh my gosh!
But that's all I got for the documentary. It was definitely a learning curve, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I know that those injustices happen across the board,
mm-hmm.
which is wrong. I mean, it's absolutely wrong. I think all of it needs to stop. I don't know how you do that. I mean, again, you're
can they ban no? I thought some federal judge had banned no knock words. Is that?
I have no idea. I wish they would.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely crazy. But I'll tell you this. I think that anybody should be able to go speak at a school board without threat of...
I mean, for sure.
...having their, you know... I mean, you should be able to go in there, and if they have a book on their shelf, you should be able to read that book in front of them and not feel strange about it and not face... And if they even agree that that book should be there, you should not get retribution because of it.
I think I came with a good plan for the books. My plan was you keep the perverted books in there, but in order to check it out, you got to have a parent's permission slip, blase, blase, and we got to call your parent to check it. Like make it hard to get. Because I feel like even though I would agree that these books shouldn't be in no school just free nilly-nilly,
yeah,
there is a form of censorship. There is a form of trying to think, what's the other loaded word that people like to say? Oh, I can't think of it. But like, there is a form of censorship.
I disagree.
Well, how?
I think you shouldn't have them. Well, no, I'm not disagreeing about the censorship. I disagree that they should be available in a school library. I think if those books are available in a public library,
mm-hmm.
that parent is going to take their kid to the public library and right. check that book out anyway.
So why not make
it? Why do you have to have it in the school?
Because
there's going to be an, like, Trey, you know, when you were in school, you could go into the library and start reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
So what, you're going to make like the old, those old adult rooms in the movie store where you have the little curtain.
I know. I'm going to make it even worse. No, see, this is what
like,
I'm telling
you. Is that what I'm saying? Like, you get like, oh, not, he's going back there to the X-rated
you know
books.
You know the kid back there all day, this perverted kid. No, I'm just saying make it hard. Like I don't like, when I hear people say, oh, I don't want the government to take my guns, but then people say, well, let's take these books out of school. I'm like, well, you know how the government works. You give them an inch, they're going to go for everything.
I mean,
so what? True. So why not? If I'm going to be a person who stands on who stands on the idea that I don't want the government taking my guns, I'm not saying leave the books on the shelf just free nilly-nilly. I'm saying they should be locked up wherever the librarian sit, they should be locked up. She has to put in a combination code, handprint, whatever you want to do, make it difficult for her to even get them out. And then even for her to even get to go through that process of getting them out, that she needs to confirm with the teacher and, oh, not the teacher, excuse me, with the parent
mm-hmm.
and permission slip.
I mean, as long as they're locked up,
yeah,
I would be okay with that. But if you're just going to leave it on the shelf,
no.
Then and you only need permission to check it out. Like
I can
you know,
go read it. While
exactly,
it
you just yeah, go read yeah, it for yeah. the hour you're
no,
in library.
No, I'm saying like it needs to be
like library is a whole class now,
right?
Which I'm not against. But again, if you're not locking these books up, you can sit there and read the book for an hour and put it back on the shelf.
Right. No, I'm saying it should be locked up in the back.
Again, if you're like, so a public library is still tax funded, it's still government funded.
Yeah.
So as long as those books are available there. They don't have to be in the school. They don't even have to be an opportunity in the school because then you got, you know, okay, think about it like this. So little Johnny gets the book checked out because his mom says it's okay. He's in class reading it in free time. Well, little Jake next door is like, hey, what you reading? And little Johnny's like, here, go ahead and start reading it, right? So again, if you... The same thing could happen if you check the book out from the public library,
I mean, yeah.
but it's not as accessible because probably little Johnny's not going to be bringing the book that he got from the public library to school. He's probably leaving that book at home and not bringing it to the school.
I'm glad you, this in your analogy of little Johnny, he's just such a good kid. Because I would say whatever the rule is for the public, it need to be the same rule for the school. Because and why I says I would even say this, I'll go push further. You can't leave the library with the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I would make it like once again, I'm all for making stuff restrictive. Like I told you, I don't think we should do away with guns, but we should make it harder for people to get them. I am a non-nonsense person when it comes down to I don't want to disrupt a system unless it needs to be. When you can make the system harder to have access to.
Yeah.
You don't want no books? All right, cool. We'll make them harder for you to get. Don't want them to take your guns? Okay, cool. You can keep your guns. But I'm going to make sure it's harder for people to get them.
I mean, if little Johnny's not leaving the X-rated room after his mom said that he could read the book, okay, I'm fine. he's taking the book and after the hour, putting it back on the shelf for next time he's in there. Okay.
Because,
you know, then little Jake over there is not accessible to that book.
Right. No,
right? I'm okay with that.
So that's what I'm like, make it.
Okay, that may be the only way that I say it's okay to have it in the school. Otherwise, I say, take it out, put it in your public library, little Johnny wants to read the book. His mom's just driving him over to the library, get his little library card. You know, he's supporting the local library instead of just the school library. And the wheels keep on turning.
The reason I have an issue with the books and people, this government overreaching that, or like the women protesting, is that, and I'm not talking about elementary school. I'm talking about like high school, middle school.
Right, right. Right.
All right. Is if you think those books are a problem, you got nothing coming. Bro, I'm a real true story. Now, this is my past. I was a teenager. It was a dude in my school, a kid. He was, I don't know how he was doing this. He was selling pornography to us. $2. You telling me I could get me a full DVD for $2? This is back in the day now. You know, it's some naughty stuff that I have to, like, I don't have, you know, I can't, you know, trust me, kids, if they want to find out about it, as long as these are at the school, these cell phones, and they don't block the, you know, the VPNs, they don't block them going around it, we're going to have this issue longer than the books. Like the books are like the reprieve.
Well, that's why my kids are not in school.
And there you go.
Perfect. Because of the Chromebooks. I mean, and their lack of wanting to block stuff, which to me is just shocking. And I mean, I even used that example when I was meeting with the principal. I'm like, you guys, I was like, literally, we're taking books off the shelf and then we're allowing whatever you want on the internet. I said, what is the difference? What is the difference? I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. It does, to me, it doesn't make sense.
It's not. Because if you have access to the whole internet at school, then the book is, trust me, I, as a youth pastor, I had a kid walk up to me now, and we're in church, my teacher Bible study, and he literally said, oh, you know, it's Pornhub Premium Week. I said, what did you say to me? Because we're in church. Just like, you know, we're in church. And you know, he said, oh, I wasn't trying to talk to you about this. I said, you got a problem. I said, what do you know about some Pornhub Premium? He's like, I said, what are you even talking about? He's like, you know, all the videos are in HD.
Oh, my gosh.
And I couldn't stop laughing. But I tore his butt a new one when I preached my sermon. Boy, I went, I talked about how you know, I pretty much sent him hell.
Did you let his mother know at least? Hey, you may,
well,
may want to check on him.
I did walk up to her and say, hey, that spirit of perversion is back on him. And she said, what do you mean? I said, he talking about watching some bad stuff. So just, you know, watch his phone. Because he had gotten some trouble for some other, like,
yeah,
sexual stuff. So.
How old is this?
At the time, he was probably like 13.
Wow. Jeez.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
13, 14.
I hate that. I hate to hear that.
God. He might have been a little old. He might have been 15.
It still sucks.
But, I mean, it's just.
I don't know whoever said they want to become a parent. Oh, my God. It's just. I mean, the sleepless nights,
greatest,
man.
It's the greatest.
The con. Sleepless nights.
Jeremy got me over here rubbing my forehead, everybody. I can't see me. I'm stressed now.
I mean, see, so at that time, you didn't even have your own daughter, you know, like you're, you know, and now it's like you take all these stories and start applying them to your own child. You're like, oh my God.
I was literally, when I drove home, I was laughing the whole time about it.
And now, like, you don't laugh. Now you'd, like, be like, no. Oh my God.
I was like, that kid is a straight perv. Now I hear that, I'm like, oh, it's close to my daughter's age. Oh, man.
Oh, geez. I mean, how can you even?
So.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, there's definitely a fine line between what you allow in the schools and everything else. But, hey, I don't have to worry about that. So, I'm hoping I stay there. I'm hoping it all works out. Yeah, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. But,
no.
You know, when you look at just story after story of things like that, it's like, well, I'm glad we don't have to worry about it, because when I'm at my school board meetings,
ripping them. You be ripping them? Do you be ripping them in a school board meeting? Were you
myself?
That?
Yeah.
I mean, like, no. Did you ever go to, like, the ones?
No,
before?
No, I didn't go that, because, again, I watched the documentary and I'm like, because I wanted to go to a school board meeting after some of the stuff that I was dealing with. And, you know, the principal is even like, I want you to come speak at the block. I'm like, I don't think you want me to come speak. I have nothing good to say. I mean, literally, I have nothing good to say. And I literally told him, I said, so you want me to go up there and tell them what I found and what you won't do?
And what did he say? Nah, sit down.
He's like, well, part of my job is, you know, to make sure that everybody's safe. I'm like, well, you're not making sure that my kids are safe. So.
Right.
You want me to tell everybody else who you're telling me doesn't even know? Because, you know, that was one of the questions that I had asked him is, am I the only person to bring this to your attention? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, wow, out of 1400 kids that all have parents, assuming, you know, at least a guardian, you're telling me I'm the only one to bring this to your attention. I'm shocked.
People are not parenting.
That's bad. I mean, that's bad. If he was being honest with me, that's bad.
Trust me. He was. I had a parent meeting at my former church. We have like over 300 kids. Mind you, when I take these kids on events, I'm taking about three. I'm like the whole youth ministry is going. And they bring their friends, so it's like 400 kids, okay? I had a parent meeting to talk about the stuff we want to do this year, my direction in the ministry, and all that. Two parents showed up.
Wow.
So that's it's true.
That's just not good.
When they trust the system, when I say the system, like I had built a system that kind of ran itself, they trust the system.
Well, I mean, I trust my church. I wouldn't be there if I didn't trust them.
Right.
You know, that's one of the differences. You know, I think we had that conversation before. It's like, you know, I think it was actually me and you talking about it because you were like, what if I start preaching blah, blah, blah to Gabby? And I'm like, well, then I fell down as a parent because right. I trusted you right. to speak into my child's life.
Right.
You know, I put her in that position. I said, this is a safe environment, but I would still be there if right. if you held that thing because I'm always interested to know. I mean, I even ask you, hey, what are you guys talking about? And then right. I like to ask her, hey, what did you learn about? And you then do. I like to make sure the stories line up because I want to make sure that she's actually hearing what you had to say.
Right.
Because I think what you have to say is valuable because I, you know, I put her in that position.
Right.
For a reason.
Right.
You know,
right.
I wouldn't put her in that. I would say, nah, you ain't going there.
Right.
We don't want to hear what he has to right. say.
Stay up here with me. Give me that.
But, you know, if you're not following up, and that's been my thing before, is, you know, that's where I felt like I fell down on the job as a parent, is I got in the game just a little too late. I mean, not too late, but a little later than I should have. I should have been on top of it like right. a year before, and I would have really had my eyes open to what was really going on. And I kind of fell down a little bit on it. I will always preach to my fellow parents who are coming into that of you got to stay on top of it.
Right.
You know, you do not trust the system. Do not trust the I never trust the internet.
Right.
Obviously, and I sure as heck don't trust my kids on the internet.
Right.
So check into it. You know, just hoping that everything's working and all these blocks exist and everything else is just hoping that you're not getting set up for failure, which you are. So right. I'm interested to see some of these private schools, what they're, I need to get with some of my friends that have their kids in private school that see, bring their working. Chromebooks home. Yeah. I want to check this out.
They got the same thing I was getting in high school. Same thing I was getting.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what these, what, you know, some of the, even the Christian private schools, kind of what their blocks look like and things like that.
I would be interested if they even have, like, Chromebooks and stuff like that. I'd be with it. I know there's one school or some schools in California, New York, they're blocking the use of the social media at the school.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. So, yeah.
I mean, that was blocked, but again, if they're not blocking VPN sites and, you know,
I
the
think
what
they
was,
do it. Like, I think the kid, like, they interviewing the kids, like, the only thing we can do is text our mom.
Perfect. They're doing it right.
Right.
I mean, they're doing it right. I don't know. So. Well, we appreciate everybody for listening today. We're going to have our bonus episode on Wednesday. Not sure what we're talking about yet, but it's going to be good. So make sure you take a listen to it. And again, pray for Dustin.
Yeah.
For sure. And his family. And I'll let Trey take us out with Dustin's famous tagline.
Truth's out. Is what he says?
Truth's out there. Read between the lines.
That's it. Dang it. I can't.
All right, let me scrub it. All right, go ahead.
Truth's out there. Read between the lines.